You're listening to Leveling Up, and I'm Arielle, your host.
Welcome back to Leveling Up. This is episode 4, and I'm calling this one Invest in Yourself. But before I get into the episode, what I do want to say is I want to give a shout out to everyone who ran the Los Angeles Marathon, well, which would be today, which is Sunday. And by the time you guys hear this, it will be past the marathon or maybe well past it at that point. But what I do want to say is I want to give a shout out to everyone who ran the Los Angeles Marathon in 2019, woo woo, which would be my husband as well. And I'm so proud of everyone who committed to such an incredible feat. So I guess that actually kind of plays into what we're talking about today. But what I want to focus on today is this concept of what it means to invest in ourselves. And I think what happens is we hear this saying all the time, invest in yourself, but what does that really mean? So from a very early age, we are told that if we're not selfless, that we're selfish. And what I aim to do in this episode is debunk that, first of all, that you can still be selflessly selfish, as I like to say, and serve others. So while we know what it means to invest in other people, what does that really look like for us? And that's the question for today. And I'm going to go ahead and go over my 4 points about what I think that looks like after I go over the belief that I hold that I hope to share with you regarding investing in yourself. So investing in yourself is what I would consider doing the necessary work. And I think necessary work is the important point to talk about because it's the necessary work that you have to put in to improve yourself so that you can attract, generate, and create more abundance, prosperity, joy, and love. And that's what I think it means to invest in yourself, is to put in the necessary work. But why should we do it? Why should we invest in ourselves? What's the point? How does it help us? And what does that even really look like, right? So what I believe is if we're going to be able to serve people in any endeavor, and what that means is enhancing your quality of life or having meaningful relationships or maybe even renewing your zest for life experiences and others, as well as being your best self, that you have to invest in yourself, meaning you have to choose you because you recognize that you're worth it. And that's what it means to invest in yourself. And that's why I say being selflessly selfish. You're not being selfish when you choose you, because in order to be able to better be who you need to be for these people, you do need to choose you. So what does that look like? My 4 points that I'm going to focus on today is, number one, do the work. Number two, set boundaries. Number three, remove toxicity. And number four, prioritize yourself. Those are what I believe are the 4 essential points needed to investing in you. So let's go ahead and talk about what do the work looks like. And do the work is what I'm going to call the necessary work. As I mentioned earlier, the necessary work to increase your value, right? So what does that look like? And the reality is that you and only you alone can be proactive enough to take responsibility for the life that you live, for your situations, and for your happiness. Nobody else. So doing the necessary work, the first part of that is accepting ownership and taking responsibility. And I'm going to say work, right? Work is a term that we associate with something that we typically have to do but don't want to do. For example, we go to work Monday through Friday. And people always say that, you know, if work were fun, it would be called fun. And I disagree with that statement. I'll kind of talk about that a little bit later on. But, you know, work is typically something that we have a negative connotation. But, you know, what work to me implies is not that it's a negative connotation, that it has to be necessarily something bad. When I think of work, I think work equates to that it's not going to be easy, but will always be worth it. So there will always be a greater gain and a greater payoff in the end for putting in said work. So what does this work look like? Self-reflection and honesty. And those two go hand in hand. In order to self-reflect, you must be honest. And by being honest with yourself, it's going to give you this self-realization and help you drive yourself in the direction in which you need to go. It's going to go ahead and help you in evaluating how and where you want to take responsibility for your life, your situations, and your happiness. So this self-reflection is not just a personal kind of sense of self. What I'm thinking about here is I'm talking about work, home, and relationship. And it's having the courage to seek help and make changes where needed. And I say have the courage because in order to make said changes in one's life, in order to go ahead and say, this is what's in my life, I had a hand in creating it, now I have a hand in changing it, this is what I need to do, it takes courage, it takes bravery, it takes someone committing to themselves to go and say, I want to be better. And the thing is it's not going to be easy, but like I said before, it will always be worth it. So how and where do we need to level up in this self-reflection? And I'm going to be so punny when I say level up. And this is, you know, thinking about yourself in this self-reflective piece of, well, how can I be a better wife? How can I be a better husband? How can I be a better father? How can I be a better brother, sister, friend? And thinking about how can you do the work? Not expecting someone else to do it, not expecting, or actually not even expecting, but without placing blame on others. And that's this doing the necessary work is going inward so that you can shine outward. So this is also about a component of, well, how can I support others? How can I contribute to my community? And in doing the necessary work, which will lead me into our next point of setting boundaries, is you're going to have to cut ties sometimes. Doing work means that you may have to evaluate the relationships that you currently have in your life for the good, the bad, and the ugly. But the other side of that as well is, where are there opportunities to build bridges? Where are there opportunities to repair something? Where is there an opportunity to go ahead and create something new? So when I say do the work, it's going inward so that you can shine outward and having that honest dialogue with yourself. Point number two, setting boundaries. And I want to talk about setting boundaries because we all struggle with setting boundaries. And I can definitely say that setting boundaries is what's given me a lot of liberation in my life. And when I say liberation, by me being able to set boundaries, it has allowed me to thrive. So setting boundaries actually comes from someone having a healthy sense of self-worth. And if you do not have a sense of self-worth, then that kind of opens up the door for people to perhaps take advantage of you. So in setting boundaries, what it looks like is standing up for yourself. This doesn't mean that you fight the person in the parking lot who cuts you off. That's not what standing up for yourself is. Standing up to these personalities and these people in your life that may bully you, that may trample all over you. You know, that person at work who takes your ideas and you don't speak up and say, hey, that was my idea. It's standing up for yourself in a polite, professional, responsible way. And that ultimately leads to self-advocacy. And you must advocate for self. So when you set boundaries, you're standing up for yourself, which in turn is advocating for yourself. And when you advocate for yourself, what that means is you're not someone's doormat. What that also means is that you say no to overcommitting to things, especially things that you don't want to do. And I will be the first person to tell you that I have been guilty of committing to things that I didn't want to do. And then it becomes this thing that I begrudgingly have to participate in, or, you know, typical LA flake where last minute I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm just not feeling well, or whatever that is. And that's really a symptom of spreading yourself too thin. So picking and choosing the things that you want to commit to. And what I can say to speak to that point about more so of my personal life in this respect is that moving into 2019 this year, both my husband and I said that we're committing to better cultivating our relationships with friends. And that means showing up for people when they need you the most. So like birthdays and life cycle events and those kinds of things. And in doing that and making that commitment to show up for people, it has really enhanced our lives. And it's been a really wonderful opportunity to consciously say, this is what we're doing. So our goal and our ambition thus far, and we're heading into, oh my God, April at this point, has been to be more present for our friends. And up until this point, we've been so busy, which I will also get to that in a little while, that we weren't really living life. So you know, I said that it's setting these boundaries is saying no, but it's also perhaps saying yes at the right time, saying yes when it serves you and saying no to something that doesn't serve you. So in addition to setting these boundaries is being assertive. So how many times have you, and I'm just going to say this, how many times have you been in a restaurant and the order comes out and maybe your food's cold or it's not cooked properly and you know, you mumble about it to someone and they say, send it back. And you're like, no, 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 no. And you, you know, it's like you eat your food in this, you know, martyrdom silence that, you know, oh, I can't send it back. Or the barista misspells your name or mispronounces your name and you don't correct them. And, you know, you chalk it up to, oh, you know, it's just too hard for them to pronounce or whatever it is. And, or even like romantic advances, right? Not telling someone perhaps that this makes me feel uncomfortable or I am not interested in you, or someone at work, as I mentioned earlier, maybe is taking your ideas and taking credit for them, but also what about that person at work who is pushing off their responsibilities on you and you don't want to rock the boat, so you're going to accept these person's responsibilities that aren't yours, and then you're also not going to say anything, which then in turn perpetuates this cycle of someone else not doing their work and then you taking on more. Or this is something that I wanted to talk about as far as being assertive is we've all had a friend that has hurt us. We have all been in a situation where a friend who was close to us deeply hurt us and you shrugged it off to, well, that's so-and-so. And I want to make sure to share this personal anecdote because I think it's really valuable. My best friend and I have been best friends for well over, you know, 10 years. And our relationship has been one that's been filled with incredible adventure, but it's also been a tumultuous one where there have been, over the course of the last 10 years, I would say maybe 3 or 4 times where we went several months without speaking. And up until, I'd say about 4 or 5 years ago, we would like make up and then we'd never talk about it. But what would happen is there would be this underlying sense of resentment that would, you know, it would boil, and it would fester and then it would just explode at some minute kind of thing in our relationship. And then hence the cycle would repeat of where we didn't talk for a couple of months and so on and so forth. And the reason I want to share that anecdote is because we've recently turned a corner. So in being assertive, it means as well as setting the boundaries and standing up for yourself, it's when someone in your life and something is not going right is saying, okay, this isn't working out, let's fix it. So recently, my best friend and I had a disagreement on something and we took a break from speaking to one another. And it was, like an accidental break or whatever it was, but you know, she was hurt by something I didn't. I was hurt by something she did, but neither one of us was going to say that we were hurt. So, you know, 2 months went by where we still liked each other's photos on Instagram, but we weren't texting. We weren't sending memes to each other through DM, which you guys know that like, something's not right when you're best friend and you are not exchanging memes on Instagram all day long. And when things kind of, you know, she reached out and that was the olive branch. So I talked about building bridges. She reached out and I said to my husband, like, she's reaching and I'm going to reciprocate. I'm not going to address it. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to fight because nothing ever gets solved if when someone extends an olive branch, you don't accept it. So she and I got together and it was definitely a little bit awkward and it wasn't the right time to have a conversation, but I had said to her, you know, we really need to schedule time to talk. And she said, I agree. We saw each other again, and then the timing wasn't right. And then finally we had set a date. This is when we're going to go to breakfast and we're going to talk. And it was a tough conversation to have. And it was hard to hear how I hurt her. And it was also really powerful to be able to say to her, this is what you did. This is how it made me feel. And how do we move on from here? And what I can say is from 45 minutes of being uncomfortable, we now have a stronger bond than we've ever had in the over 10 years we've been best friends. And that talk led to turning a corner. it opened up a dialogue that didn't exist before. And we committed to each other of saying, like, no bullshit anymore. Like, if something I do or something I said hurt you, like, you know, let me know, you know, vocalize that. And we agreed that we both care about each other too much to go ahead and just let a disagreement continue to divide us. So in being assertive, it's having those conversations sometimes that are difficult to have. So correcting someone when they need to be corrected, standing up to your boss, advocating for yourself, but also really evaluating friendships. If someone in your life and the family as well has hurt you, go ahead and be that person. Reach out. Say, hey, can we get together? And what's the worst that can happen? They don't get together with you. They don't want to see you. At least you tried. And that's something that you need to keep in mind is you have to live with yourself. You have to go to bed every single night knowing what kind of human being you are. So when I say choose you. What kind of person do you want to be? My third point is consciously removing toxic people and negative energy from your life. And when I say, you know, conscious, is that toxic people aren't just going to leave your life because, you know, they're energy vampires, which I've mentioned this in one of my other episodes, is these people who seem to not serve you, these people who seem to literally remove the life force from you. It's like they take these plugs and put them into your chest and they suck out all the joy. So I was doing some research for this episode and I came across a really great list that I had wanted to share. And it was actually on thelawofattraction.com if you want to go ahead and check it out. And what it talks about is that it's hard to make the changes in your life when you feel like there's no way out. And we've all been there. We've all been in a situation where we know it needs to be changed and we want to change it, but we don't know how to change it. So while this list, right, is just kind of a way to kind of shed that shell and remove people, just keep in mind, like I said earlier, is that this is hard. It's going to be hard to do the necessary work so that you can prosper, so that you can be abundant, so that you can create love and joy. It's going to take work if you're in a situation that's not serving you. But, you know, things do get better. And the other thing to keep in mind is that you have the power to make positive changes in your life. Notice how I use the word you. No one else is going to make those changes for you. You have all the power to go ahead and choose to create positivity and greatness for yourself. So thelawofattraction.com. Number one, and this is about shedding these toxic people in your life. Number one is to get rid of those who spread negativity. Number two, to remove those who criticize you all the time. Number three, to remove those who waste your time. Number four, to remove those who are jealous. Number five, to remove those who play the victim. Number six, to remove those who do not care. Number seven, to remove those who are self-centered. And number eight, to remove those people in your life who keep disappointing you. A really concise list that I think encompasses the important points of those setting those boundaries. And when it comes to setting boundaries, I want you to remember this saying, energy flows where energy goes. I'll say it again. Energy flows where energy goes. So the more selective you are about where your focus is, the more successful you will be. The more time you spend away from toxic people and the things that are not serving you will allow for more time for you to surround yourself with people and opportunities that are positive, uplifting, and important to you. Number four, prioritize yourself. I mentioned earlier in the episode that many of us are taught early on that if we aren't selfless, that we are selfish. And so many people, especially those who lead lives of service, live this life of, you know, give. And we're pushing ourselves to our limits. And then what happens is when we're constantly giving to others, we feel empty, we feel lost, and we kind of feel like we're not attuned to our own goals, ambitions, and lives. So to better frame this is people who lead lives of service, like teachers, nurses, doctors, therapists, psychologists, counselors, even police officers, could experience something called compassion fatigue. And this comes from people who are constantly emptying their cup to fill other people's. It comes from this world and this desire or this need to have to continue to serve other people. And what happens is after a while, from so many people, their stories, their baggage, their trauma, how it impacts you is there's a desensitizing that happens. The other end of this at the same time is that there's that oversensitive sense of empathy where you feel everything and cannot go ahead and deflect that energy. So what I can say as a urban school teacher who serves in a high needs population, my students very often would journal about things that were heart-wrenching. I can't even begin to quantify how many times I've cried. And I can't even tell you how many times I came home and I just unloaded on my husband and was like, I don't know what to do. There have been countless times I've wanted to adopt children. There have been so many times that I felt a pain, a sorrow, a sadness, and a sense of helplessness for those children that the gaping hole in your heart is endless. It's infinite. And you can't do anything. So for me, it wasn't necessarily a desensitizing that happens. It's I don't have the ability to disconnect. I feel every bit of pain that my students feel, every bit of the horrible things that these children endure, I feel on a level that greatly impacts my self-care, my health, my wellness, and my being, because all I want to do is help and all I want to do is save. And the thing about prioritizing yourself is that it has to go beyond self-care. And you also need to know that you can't save everyone, especially people who are in these industries or in these careers, such as education or caretaking and, you know, therapy, whereas people are sharing their most innermost, deepest, sensitive things with you and traumas, and they come to you with a tremendous amount of baggage. And if you're not equipped with the tools to properly cope with that, it can potentially be really draining. And I've been there. And what I've come to realize is the following, that prioritizing myself has to go beyond self-care. So people will be like, oh, go get a manicure, go get a massage. And that's only one aspect of self-care, but it's temporary, right? Oh, so for 55 minutes, I lay on a table in a towel and somebody massages me and then I go home. My problems are still there. It's not a long-term solution. It's a short-term solution to removing physical tension. It's the same as with like going to get a manicure. You know, going to get a manicure is a short-term fix. You know, someone massages my hands, my nails look pretty and I feel good about myself. But again, I'm not embedding the coping mechanisms in order to go ahead and better live my life as me. So prioritizing yourself is that when we're feeling depleted is we have nothing left to give. So it's that emptying your cup concept that I have mentioned before, that if you have an empty cup, you can't fill other people. So if we constantly give in this, you know, go, go, go kind of world, we have nothing left. So we have to do things to build ourselves up. So in building ourselves up, that's when we need to do things that we love. And doing things we love recharges us. So I'm not a parent, but what I do know from working in education, what I do know from my friends that are parents, is that their romantic relationships tend to fall by the wayside or take a very back burner to their children's needs. And that's okay, because you're serving your children and you're doing something beautiful together as parents. But what's not okay is that you completely and utterly forget why you fell in love in the first place. So doing what we love, connecting, You created a life force. You created a beautiful being. You obviously, you know, assuming you're in a relationship that's a healthy one and you're still together or interacting and whatever the case may be. But if you are in a relationship and, you know, your marriage, your relationship with your significant other always comes, you know, last or doesn't exist at all, recharging and doing something for you both, hiring a babysitter and going out on a date night, getting dressed up, whether it's going to dinner and a movie, it doesn't have to be something fancy, but doing something to replenish all of that energy that you're giving to raising your children. And what that contributes to is being present in your life, not just being a bystander of your life, it's actually being a conscious participant in your life. I know that life moves fast. I know that life is hard. But I also know that life is not worth living if I'm not present in it. So doing the things that you love. If you love to hike, prioritize that. And we talk about prioritizing it is scheduling time for you. Scheduling time for people that you care about, people that you love, people that you don't see enough. So the next thing is stopping to smell the roses. And we have this constant, you know, cycle of go, 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 go. And there's this belief that we have to prove our self-worth to other people. And here's the thing is the irony of constantly do, 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 and go, 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 is that it doesn't breed personal connections. And the problem is it prevents us from actually enjoying the experience or said experience that you're working for. So, you know, you're so focused on achieving said task and said results, and then so focused on looking ahead towards the next task and said results that you cannot enjoy the here and the now. And the thing is what do we have to prove to other people? There's this belief that we have to rack up a sense of, or rack up all these achievements, or we have to keep up with the Joneses and we have to show other people how great we are. But like I mentioned earlier, you go to sleep at night and you have to be okay with the person you are. What do you care if Sally down the block, you know, has something to say about how you're living your life? Who's Sally? And why do you care what Sally thinks? So this concept of go, go, go and do, 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 I mentioned like smell the roses. Life is meant to be lived fully and thoroughly. So in order to thrive in that world, you have to enjoy the experiences that you're working for. Hitting pause and just stepping back and looking at your life for the splendor that it is. Practicing self-compassion. So many of us guide other people in how to practice compassion rather. And I can say this as someone who also works in fitness. So very common, people will come into my classes and they'll say, hey, Ariel, I'm injured. So just so you know, I'm going to be modifying things. And then a conversation ensues. And the conversation is, well, have you seen a doctor? Are you cleared for physical activity? To which I will follow up with, and I mean this earnestly, is do not push yourself. Do not be a fitness martyr. I say that all the time, that it is just a fitness class and it is not worth it. It is not worth potentially ruining yourself, hurting your body in the long run or permanently to take my fitness class. To which the members or these people agree, absolutely, I'm with you. We tell people to take time off. I advise my clients, people who take my class, you want to make sure you're not overtraining. You want to make sure that you're getting plenty of rest and plenty of sleep and all of these things, and listen to your body. Just this Saturday, I was teaching a cycling class and a gentleman walks in, and it was a full class with a wait list, walks in and he said, hey, I just want to let you know that this bike is going to be open. I said, oh, okay. And he said, well, it was my bike, but I'm letting you know because class is full so that you can give it away. I said, okay. And then I had this look on my face that because I was very confused why he was leaving, because I've never had anybody walk in and leave before class began. To which he said, you know, I woke up today and I just wasn't feeling it. My body says today's not the day. And hooray, hallelujah, somebody finally listening to their body. Listen to it. Your body tells you things. And if we don't listen to the signs and the things our body tells us, then, you know, again, we run the risk of A, doing things that we don't want to do and associating it with negative emotions, creating negative energy, but also we run the risk of hurting ourselves. So we practice this self-care or self-compassion or to others. We guide other people towards self-compassion. We encourage other people to be compassionate, to be kind to themselves, to be charitable in their assumptions of their bodies and their movements and of others. But when it comes to ourselves, do we practice what we preach? And I'm willing to say that if you are a human being, you probably don't. So this is your reminder, is to practice self-compassion. What you tell other people, tell yourselves. I am going to tell you, this has taken a very long time for me. And I'm not going to say that I'm this like self-realized individual at all, but it has taken many years for me to finally say that if I'm not feeling physically like going to the gym, or if I'm not physically feeling like embarking upon X workout, I don't do it. I mentioned in my last episode that I have cried through workouts, that I had, you know, I was be on the treadmill at 6 a.m. doing things that I didn't want to do. And I would never, ever tell someone to do that. So why would I do that? So I finally turned this corner where I'm, if I don't want to do it, I don't do it. And this doesn't mean that it's carte blanche for you to say, well, you know what? I don't want to pay my bills and I don't want to eat healthy and I don't want to go to work. That's not realistic. It's about honoring yourself. So obviously there's parameters here, but when we talk about self-compassion, it's accepting your thoughts and your feelings. It's taking that time off when needed, listening to your body and your mind and your heart's cues, and relinquishing self-judgment, not berating yourself for taking time off, not berating yourself for having the feelings that you're feeling. Allow yourself to feel your feelings. Experience them wholly and fully. That is the joy and the curse, I guess, of being a human, is that we feel deeply, but allow yourself to experience them. So when we talk about investing in you, I'm going to remind you of the following 4 points. Do the work, set boundaries, remove toxicity. It's a hard word for someone who has a lisp, and prioritize yourself. And while I can't make any guarantees that your life is going to, you know, instantly become better, because these things take time, I'm willing to bet if you chip away day by day at these points, that you will start to notice gradual changes. So my friends, my family, I wish you the best in your commitment to invest in yourself. Thank you so much for listening to episode 4. I am so excited to have you on this journey, and I look forward to having you join me on social media. So you can follow me on Instagram at @Arielle_Miller. And also, please don't forget to like, rate, favorite, and subscribe to Leveling Up with Arielle Miller. Again, thank you so much for listening. Love you much. Mwah!